Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It all continues. This is the broadcast for January 20th in the year of our Lord, 2015, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. We believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders, inspired by the Almighty, absolutely brilliant, and the solution to restore the Republic. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't want revolution, but we do want restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Our Downsize DC buddy, downsizedc.org, Mr. Jim Babka on the line as well. Jim, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Good morning, guys.
There are so many things going on in the news, it's like impossible to know where to even start. But I kind of want to start with this. You know, the Republicans took over at the end of last year, Jim Babka, and a lot of people were thinking, man, this is awesome. We've got the majority in the House and the Senate, a bigger majority than we've ever had in our lifetimes, and this is going to be incredible. But I feel like Simon and Garfunkel, sir, it's been nothing but the sound of silence when it comes to an appropriate agenda or something they would lay out as their goals. I haven't heard a word. Your thoughts?
I don't think we should be surprised. What everybody needs to understand is that the thing that matters most to every politician, at least the ones that are the most successful, and they tend to be the ones that are in office, is the next election, not this one. So, you know, you just voted. That's yesterday's news. The politician's response is, what have you done for me lately? He's already thinking ahead. So every politician has in mind 2016, and in some cases even further because they have a career arc in mind, and they're not necessarily going to respond to take risks that are going to put that that position in jeopardy. And the only thing that they do understand is force being applied to them. Their job is to find ways to apply force to human beings to get them to do what they want. You have to find ways to scare them into the belief that they're going to lose their job. When the job of a member of the House of Representatives is virtually guaranteed for re-election, as is the case for well over 90% of the members, then they have very little incentive to do anything except the same old things that they've been doing all along. The Republicans have, and this is my last point, have been consistently a much better party when they're in the minority than they have been when they're in the majority. And for those people who are on the Democratic side, by the way, don't feel too bad because they tend to feel the same way about their party. I know a lot of liberals, and they express exactly the same frustration when they're in the lead. They don't feel that their party's representing them either. And I do think in a lot of ways that the system is designed to do exactly what it's doing right to us right now.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, in the empty vacuum of the Republicans really having no ideas, just kind of sitting back, Barack's on a bender. I kind of referred to it last hour as it's a one-man show basketball game. He simply let them bang away at three-pointers and fail for 3 months, and now he's basically like, give me the ball. Sit back and watch the show. And he's got this hardcore, some would say communist, some would say fascist, some would say whatever, agenda, and the Republicans are all too sidelined about it. And Barack's going to, he's kind of flip-flopped the discussion. It used to be to where presidents would kind of tease and hint up until the State of the Union, then they would roll out their policies in shock and awe fashion, and then they'd, you know, on the back end, run around and promote those policies as they crisscross the country. Barack's done the opposite. He's laid out exactly what his agenda is. He's laid out and crisscrossed the country talking about it, and now he's going to finish with a State of the Union address and mock the Republicans along his way. Then he's going to follow it up with a campaign to the young of Twitter and Facebook and whatever other new media videos, etc., to hammer home his agenda. And you don't even think it's worth watching, do you? And I would agree.
Well, let me get to that point first. Let me just say that I don't watch the State of the Union. It's very unlikely I will see any of it. And that is because I have heard it said that politicians lie, or at least they have a tendency to do so. And
well, that's putting it mildly, Jim.
Yeah. What the president
that's some news.
Yes, much of what the president's going to say tonight isn't going to happen anyway. It's you know, it's unicorns and lollipops, you know, that he wants to give. And so it's about good feeling. So the lie is really designed to kind of pump up his side of the political spectrum. But if I sit there, Sam, and watch somebody lie, and even on accident, I end up believing something I've heard that turns out not to be true, I leave the experience dumber than I was before I started. And I just don't feel like I can afford the brain cells to do that. I got too much to do. So I won't watch tonight because I don't buy any of it, don't believe any of it, don't think it's worth my time. There's much more important things to do. But you're right. The Democrats are crowing. The president's numbers are up, and they're saying it's because he's being bold. It's because he's saying, you know, he's speaking for our agenda. He's advancing, you know, all these free programs. He's coming up with all these new taxes. You know, this is what we needed to do all along. And if he'd have been doing this, it'd have been going better for him. And look, the proof is in the pudding, in the poll numbers. But I think you're putting your finger on the real issue here. There's no real opposition to him at the moment. There's a sense of confusion within the ranks. They like the famous movie scene. They woke up the day after election, looked at each other, and said, "Now what?"
You mean we really won? I thought it was. I didn't think we were going to really win.
No, I'm saying the Republicans said that to each other.
Yeah,
I
think they looked at each other and go,
divide.
"I didn't think we'd really win."
We have this divide, and that, you know, there's a lot of, I know a lot of people who are conservatives, and I called on them last week in a Facebook post that I put up. I had suggested to them that it was up to them to check their party here. We have four Republican United States senators, committee chairman types, who are calling for an increase in the fuel tax. They also want to close what they call a loophole in the estate tax. So the president's actually going to suggest that to, more than likely tonight, and there are Republicans on board for that. Now, you know, the Republican Party isn't really known for much in terms of core principles. I mean, what is like the really, really most important things upon which we cannot bend if you're a Republican, right? And it is taxes is near the top of that list. I mean, to be a Republican is to oppose higher taxes, and to be a Democrat is to constantly advocate for them. And here you have Republicans doing the president's water bearing for him. Yeah, let's increase some taxes. Why, you know, I don't know if gasoline's low right now, so we apparently can afford to increase it. But how long has it been low? It wasn't low last summer. It wasn't low 3 years ago, you know, and all of a sudden these guys are coming along and suggesting that, oh, hey, that means there's more room to tax the American people. They were used to paying $4 a gallon. You know, we can up it a few cents. That isn't going to hurt anything. The fuel tax, you know, the immediate response to these guys, because they all claim, too, that they're opposed to this gigantic, enormous government. You know, this big government is evil. We need to show some fiscal restraint. The highway program is probably the most pork-laden piece of legislation that goes through Congress.
Now, you're right about that. And by the way, the federal gas tax, just so everybody knows, is currently at 18.4 cents a gallon, and it's been so since 1993, sir.
Yeah, but they've had more than enough money. You know, they're saying, well, the highways aren't getting done. Well, that's because your congressman, ladies and gentlemen, goes into that fund in agreement for his vote, and he gets something out of it. He gets something that has nothing to do with the highways, nothing to do with repairing the roads, brought back to his district.
In other words, you're saying they raped the fund over and over, and therefore, even though they've been collecting the money for 20-plus years, they don't have any money because they've been raping the fund.
There's still more than enough to do all the highway repair that they need to do. Don't let them tell you otherwise. They are constantly using this money for other stuff, constantly.
Well, just another reason to ignore the Republicans and not watch the State of the Union address.
There you go.
I think Jim Babka's correct on that because he's right. You know, hey, how much of it's really going to be accomplished? And what items of it will be accomplished differently than he lays out? And most importantly, what can you do about it if you watch it versus if you don't watch it? If you don't watch it and you focus on other things in life, you might actually have quality of life, Jim Babka.
Yes. Yes, and this is a very important theme that you're one of the few people that constantly expresses so well, that, you know, politics is not supposed to be the dominant thing in our life. I mean, I do think we have a civic responsibility and should pay attention to it, and, you know, my living comes from, you know, focusing on those issues and doing that work. But I really do also believe that the majority of things that we do in life are supposed to be about life. They're supposed to be about the relationships that we have and the plans and dreams that we have and our children's plans and dreams. And, you know, those are the things that really matter. And if you're spending your time obsessing about things that you cannot control, as opposed to working on those things which you can, you become out of balance and you become unhappy. And I've seen it do some really bad things to some people.
And it seems like that's exactly what they want, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I think they want us to spend time talking about this. And listen, you know, politics is something we talk about. It's considered a little more controversial than the weather, but it's right up there, right?
Yeah, but the weather's going to make my life nice today if it's good weather. By the way, the states are looking at abusing us. If the federal government won't pass tax gas hikes, the states are looking at doing that in place of the feds this time. When we come back, we'll talk about all kinds of cool things, the Zero Aggression Project and more. Mr. Jim Babka, DownsizeDC.org on your radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Jim Babka, DownsizeDC.org in the round table, ladies and gentlemen. State of the Union address tonight, 9 p.m., who cares? Jim Babka, why don't watch the State of the Union address? And he's right, because, hey, they won't even implement most of it anyway. It's a bunch of rhetoric. It's nothing but a browbeating exercise between the left and right deceptive paradigm, which makes no difference anyway. In fact, Ron Paul echoes your sentiments quite well, Jim Babka. Ron Paul writes, what empty rhetoric will we hear from President Barack Obama this evening, this year? Ron Paul, kind of an interesting take on it, huh?
Yeah, this is a view, by the way, I first originated as a joke back when George W. Bush was president, and so it's not a new position for me. to suggest that there is nothing to watch. You know, I was a political science major in college and was deeply involved in political action for a number of years. And even after I kind of personally had lost my taste for spending time in political action, I still was very much involved in policy and, you know, launched Downsize DC and so forth, and continued to feel that I had some responsibility to watch this. And I know, Sam, that, you know, it kind of goes with your job. It's an occupational hazard, if you will, that when you're a radio talk show host, you kind of have to pay attention to this stuff probably much more than you wish you had to.
You're right. In fact, I think 90% of it's a waste of time. The problem is if you don't talk about any of it, then people think you're not even up to speed on what's happening is the problem.
That's exactly right. And so when I was a radio host from 2005 to 2008, that's when this observation hit me. I was in the position of having to watch all of this stuff, and I couldn't believe how much of it never materialized, how much of it turned out to be just outright lies based on phony presuppositions, how much of it the president himself knows as he's standing there he isn't going to do. And by the way, how much of it he is willing, as he's standing there, you know, darn near pounding the podium and getting the people in his chamber to rise, he is eagerly willing to compromise away because he has some other objective that isn't even covered in the speech that he wants to get done. And I said, you know, I go on air and I put my credibility on the line and I talk about the things that are said in that speech as if they're serious, as if they're real, as if they're not vaporware. And I said, I don't want to do that anymore. What I would rather do instead is try to, you know, get, you know, go below the surface here, because clearly what's happening on a day-to-day basis is all part of the game. So I stopped watching, and I did that shortly before I quit. You know, the last year that I did, I think the last year, maybe two, that I was doing my radio show, I didn't watch it, and I made a point of telling the audience I didn't watch it. Thought it was kind of a funny angle at the time, but it's turned out to be kind of a principle I've followed since then.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand for sure. What about Barack's college fund? He wants to give 2 years of free college to qualified applicants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You think it's rhetoric, or do you think it's real?
Well, I think it's primarily rhetoric, but that doesn't mean that a large portion of his base doesn't think that this is necessary. And this is we need to begin to engage this argument, because there is a level of economic ignorance at work here, and also a real misunderstanding of the human spirit, both, that are involved in this. There's a number of problems. I mean, first of all, this is welfare for academia, and there already is an academic bubble. We already are hearing the stories of people coming out of college with degrees, in business even, unable to get, employment, finding that they're not, the jobs that were promised at the end of that experience weren't really there. What this does is it allows colleges to continue. All the government money and all these guaranteed student loans have not made education more affordable. They have put students in far greater bondage. What has happened instead is they're not paying the bills now. So the colleges are able to dramatically increase their tuition. Tuition has been going up radically every single year since sometime in the late 1970s. This has been going up. They're way in excess of inflation. Second, if you make a community college degree free, if everybody can go get one, you dilute the value of that to those who are going to take the step of moving on to additional education. And not everybody is interested, truly, in additional education. Maybe that becomes the minimum standard they have to do. I know of young people who the idea of being able to spend, extra years in school appeals to them as much as, an uncomfortable medical procedure. But it will devalue education in the long run. This is the first opportunity that you really have to kind of distinguish yourself as an adult, going out and seeking this. And if it's not something that you want to do, if it's not comfortable, it's not conducive to what you're going to do as far as work goes, you shouldn't put yourself in the financial bondage that comes with the degree. I think the degrees right now, particularly for a lot of areas, are tremendously overpriced. There's entire majors where you probably should skip the college experience. He's going to devalue this education. He's going to make it more expensive. And then the last point I would make is that the government is a nasty, nasty creditor. You know, Guido might show up to break your legs, and it's not quite that dramatic, but there's proposals to take away people's driving license, voting rights, that you cannot declare bankruptcy to get out of this debt. It doesn't matter what a bad deal it turned out to be for you. The government is going to put that loan first and foremost. They'll take things. They'll prohibit you from getting things. They'll destroy your credit. there's just a number of different ways that people end up in bondage. I have a chiropractor who is close to my age, who went back to school to become a chiropractor after getting a degree and going out in his field for a year or two. He went back to medical school to be a chiropractor, and he is still in his 40s paying and isn't anywhere near done on his college debt. The idea that we should still be paying these bills in our 40s is insane. It's why would someone want to put themselves in this position? They largely feel that they're forced to or compelled to. And it's just, this is because the colleges have sapped up every bit and then some of the money that is coming from the government that directly subsidizes this education. So we're no further along in the end. Barack Obama is just going to make some colleges a lot richer. It's corporate.
Well, and two other points to illustrate what you mentioned. Not only will it raise the cost because everybody can get one, decreasing the value of it, but it also means how much money. We've asked this question to educational professionals, et cetera, for a long time. You know, they always say we need a little bit more money. Golly, we're on the ropes. The question is, how much money do you really need? And they never answer that question, Jim Biafka. Hey, if we were to raise it one time and just give you all that you need so it would just be good, what would it take? And they never have an answer for that, sir.
No, it's always a little bit more. It's always a little bit more. It's interesting you bring this up. It's not just the education profession. It's every profession where the state has gotten mixed into the game. I had an unpleasant holiday experience that really disturbed my digestion. My wife had to kind of kick me under the table because I was ready to just lop some heads off. Where an extended family member, so I'm not close to this person at all. I see them, once, maybe twice a year, specifically because it's a holiday and we're all supposed to get together, right? And she works in the police department. And she was just flat out bothered that we're not providing enough, we taxpayers are not kicking enough money over to provide for the services that they want to provide. And I'm telling you, you start sitting there talking about their compensation plans and their, how they're, able to retire so early with these huge pensions, stuff that the rest of us don't have. And there is a serious, serious level of entitlement here. I won't get into the specifics of the story, but it had to do with a fee that they're charging out-of-town drivers who call the police for an accident. They literally are charging a fee in this particular community. And this was completely justified. And she was indignant that I would even pause to ponder whether or not such a thing was fair or right or just. Did you guys get enough money? Just indignant as all get out. Because there's this really huge sense of entitlement. They look at the golden goose and think, well, you can produce more eggs. Produce more. Squeeze one out now, Sam.
And the thing is, they don't even understand when you try to educate them about common sense, about reality, about supply and demand or free market principles or anything that relates to real wealth. Their eyes glaze over and they're like, man, you just like to argue, don't you? These people are crazy. All right, downsizedc.org, zeroaggressionproject.org. Mr. Jim Biafka on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. They got a bunch of initiatives, and I'm hoping that they might have some folks that'll help them introduce the initiatives to Congress. We'll talk about that in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. This half hour is brought to you in part by, we hope you will support us. Republic Broadcasting needs your donations to get their satellite feed turned back on. And I'm ready to give anybody a copy of my He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules DVD free as a gift. If you put in some cash, get it done. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Click on donations. Put your donation in. Write a little note that says, hey, man, I want the DVD. And put as much money in as you can. And, folks, we need your support. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Get it done today, would you please? All right, Mr. Jim Babka, our guest today, DownsizeDC.org, his website, ZeroAggressionProject.org, that website coming up soon. Jim Babka, the new Congress gives us at least some hope. I'm not interested in the Republican, Democrat, left-right-wing debate, but I am interested in new people might just consider your initiatives to have merit, sir. Do you think we'll have a better chance of putting some of your plans in place?
Well, it is a little bit hard to say. First of all, we had a congressional office that in the last 6 to 9 months of the session, first of all, I knew this congressman beforehand. I'd met him. We'd had correspondence before he even ran for office. But he ended up being a one-term congressman. And during the last roughly 6 months of his term, we really had a level of – he had a new chief of staff come in 6, 9 months, probably more like 9 months, and we had a new level of cooperation that if he had returned to Congress, I suspect we would have actually done a great deal more with him, but he did not return to Congress. And so both of our Read the Bills Act and Write the Laws Act presently have no one to sponsor them, and we're going to have to start from scratch because neither of those sponsors return to Congress.
All right, the goal of DownsizeDC.org, ladies and gentlemen, sign up for their free emails today, DownsizeDC.org. Their goal, downsize and decentralize the government by restoring constitutional limits and the Bill of Rights. Man, do I support a project like that. They've got some serious initiatives to accomplish this, and at first they sound so simple, but when you really think about the power of them, you kind of go, wow. First one, Read the Bills Act. That means they'd actually have to read what they vote for, sir?
Yeah, they have to read the bill. If they want to cast a yes vote, they have to sign an affidavit saying that they've either read it for themselves or they've heard it read to them. We require in that bill a quorum of 50% plus one of the members to sit and listen to a literal word-for-word in-order reading the bill because, Sam, the mind will procure what the hiney will endure, and I promise you there will be smaller and fewer bills passed.
Amen to that.
If they have to sit through them. And then, of course, we also...
It also means none of the claims about, well, you got to pass the bill to find out what's in it statements could be made, right?
Exactly. And then there's a seven-day waiting period after the final reading of the bill, where the bill just has to sit for the public, for watchdog groups, to be able to review the bill. You should be able to read the bill online. And so we require that as well. That's the Read the Bills Act.
The second one would help quite a bit with the Read the Bills Act. It's like-minded and understanding, One Subject at a Time Act, sir.
Yeah, the One Subject at a Time Act says that the bill has to have a clear, simple description of what the bill is, and that is limited to one topic, and that the everything in the bill has to conform with that title, with that subject line. If there's more than one subject, it needs to become the subject of another bill.
In other words, bye-bye Cromnibus, right?
Yes, exactly. And if you take these two bills together, I don't know if people have started to forget who Jack Abramoff was, but, you know, he described in his book after getting out of prison how it was that he was able to do what he did. And basically what he did was he found gigantic bills that no one had read, and they would insert some bureaucratese in a clause somewhere that was attaching something to a bill that was sure to pass. It didn't matter if the subject was related at all. So if the Read the Bills Act and the One Subject at a Time Act were enforced, Jack Abramoff's tactic, his favorite tactic, would have been taken away. And don't think it's not going on now, by the way.
There you have it. You know, those two initiatives alone, and I know they sound very simple. They're very short. What are they, less than a page each?
No, because we have to describe how to do this, it takes us about 5 or 6 pages. About 7, 8 pages in the case of Read the Bills, and about 5 pages in the case of One.
All right, but the point is a lot of its implementation details. The real focus, though, is tiny, right?
Yes, they're both limited to one subject.
Yeah. You know, it sounds so simple, but at the same time, believe it or not, I submit to you that they would pass a fraction of the number of bills that they currently pass. They would be focused to really debate issues, single issues at a time, where people could really debate the pros and cons. It's almost like getting rid of the IRS. It sounds so simple, so easy, so valuable. Do you think we can ever get it done?
I've reached the point where I don't think it's important necessarily that we do. Yes, I do think it can be done. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth trying. It'll be very, very difficult. The Read the Bills Act has... it doesn't matter whether you're talking to a liberal or a conservative. You know, something like 80 to 90% of the population, in my experience anecdotally, it's very close to 100, believes that this is a good idea. The people where I've found resistance always, always were located inside the Beltway. There's not been an exception to that in my life so far. One Subject at a Time Act, maybe a little bit more resistance, but you know, it happens to be the law. It happens to be in the state constitution of 45 states. This is how they operate. And they have procedures, specific procedures that are designed to determine what a subject is. We could not implement these procedures because our federal government is purposely much more convoluted in how their system works. And so we couldn't, like, borrow one of these state procedures to go, oh, that's the one we should use. We've had to just kind of resort to just, hey, you know, you kind of like the old Supreme Court definition, you know one subject when you see it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I believe it would be such a simple approach and so refreshing because it would really create transparency, and it would really create focus, laser-like focus, on the pros and cons of a given idea before it was law. And right now the problem with these cromnibus or omnibus spending bills, you don't have any idea what you're even agreeing to or disagreeing. And the problem is, you know, if you don't read them, you'd really, if you're honorable, you would vote no on everything. You would just simply say, I voted no because I couldn't read it. I couldn't even know what I was voting for. But that point's only been made a couple of times by a couple of people, right?
Well, and the other thing is I do have good news on the One Subject at a Time Act. We do have we have been told by Congressman Marino's office, he's introduced the bill before, that he is reintroducing the bill or will introduce it during this session. At its peak, we had 9 co-sponsors for the bill. Our goal is to break that record this term, to keep making progress and move this forward, get it a little bit more in the national debate. We even believe on this one we might have a surprise up our sleeve. We might have a national celebrity who will come out and speak up for the bill. So
all right,
we'll see if that happens.
Kurt Crosby's a celebrity. He'll stand up for it, won't you, Kurt?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Well, there's some celebrities that are having a kind of a party. And Jim Babka, maybe you could attend this and get these guys, these celebrities on board for it. Four GOP hopefuls, Kurt.
Well, that's right. They've got a big, the Koch brothers, that's K-O-C-H, by the way. Koch brothers got a big event coming up this weekend, and four, well, lucky invitees are going. Senator Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, all three senators, and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker are among the invitees. And they'll be hosted there at the Palm Springs Hotel.
I'm not impressed.
Yeah, this should be a
because I can't even get a hold of the Koch brothers for an appropriate agenda that I have. What about you, Jim Babka? Do you think the Koch brothers could help these two ideas, the one issue or one subject at a time, and the Read the Bills Acts?
Sure, I'd welcome their support. I think, you know, it's one of these things. I'm considered part, you know, in my role to be part of the broader libertarian movement. And there's this myth out there that the Kochs fund every bit of it. And I've never gotten a dime of Koch money in my life. In fact, I've only gone to them once with a very specific project, which was to challenge the McCain-Feingold law in the federal court system. We ended up going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they went and spoke to two advisors over at the Cato Institute, which they do fund. And those two advisors told them not to sign on to our lawsuit, and they didn't. Not to participate in any way, shape, or form. It was a waste of their money. And so I've not seen a dime of Koch money, and but I can spend it just like I can spend anything else, and I can put it to really good use. So, I would welcome their money if they want to send it.
I don't have any hope. I guess they'd say the check's in the mail there, Jim.
Right.
All right. Well, OPEC's in the news too, Kurt. Maybe they can keep focus off anything of value, huh?
Well, looks like the Iran boys see that, the industry, they say, according to Reuters, that it could drop down to $25 a barrel. What I want to know is what that means, what's the translation for per gallon gas. So it looks like the lowest price across the country is in the Texas area. We've got $1.66 is the cheapest our way. What do you see your way, Sir Jim?
For gasoline?
Mm-hmm.
We were just over, I haven't been out, was not out yesterday. I was in my office all day. On Sunday, it was just over $2. But during the week previous, it had been down as low as $1.79.
Don't worry, the former oil exec says, hey, man, gas is going to be $5 a gallon coming up. Hang tight. We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live. Jim Babka, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby. It is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Whoa, this is big.
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, the former oil exec is named Mr. Hofmeister, and he says $5 gas on the way. Jim Babcock, do you think he's right?
Don't know. I'm not real good. My crystal ball has not been functioning very well for me lately, it wouldn't surprise me. I think, you know, there is a market out there, and it's the price has come down much further than any of us would have expected. If I'd have told you 6 months ago that you would be paying this much in gas, you wouldn't have believed me, this little, in comparison to what we were paying. So to me, this is it's a little bit hard to tell, but I think we should be prepared for that possibility, that would be the case, you know, in the best ways that we can. It's good that we have this opportunity now, but at least for most of us. But, you know, markets do change and circumstances change.
Yeah, remember this. Whatever goes up must come down, they claim. And just so you know, in the economy, whatever goes down will go up, just so you know.
You know, it's interesting in the USA Today piece that talks about this way down in the last, three paragraphs. The thing you got, at least one of the things you want to look at is it says that he retired from Shell in 2008, this guy, Mr. Hofmeister. And now he's been actively promoting natural gas as a fuel, transportation fuel. He's part of what they call Citizens for Affordable Energy. So he's suggesting that, you know, if we really moved forward with that. And it's part of the way, in my opinion, he's right in that when we get these alternatives and these options, then they simply make more competition in the market and basically make it where it's better for everybody. But
yeah,
it's interesting
his last
he
comment,
promotes that.
The last comment of the very long article says his advice is simple. Enjoy it because it's going to go up. I find that kind of an interesting statement. And economically speaking, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you right now, it's going to go down. A lot of states are going to, believe it or not, raise taxes on it. Then it's going to go up, and it's going to be a double whammy. I hope that doesn't happen, but I'm telling you from experience about economics, when has gas not gone down and then it hasn't gone up afterwards? You see a continued breaching of the highs every time it goes up. And, you know, all I'm telling you is that swing action, economically speaking, will happen. I don't know when, and I'm not even going to try to predict when, but I'm telling you, when he says enjoy the price because it will go up, I'm convinced that's a sound economic statement. The problem is when people start to peg timetables is when they go, in my humble opinion, off the rails on that. But it is a serious topic, to say the least. And, you know, economically speaking, I think the best way we can weather these things, Jim, is to just learn to live thin. Learn to live within your means. Learn to live without all that pomp and travel.
And it's very, very, very difficult. You know, we're just to do that. But, yes, I mean, that's the challenge, and that's the goal to do, to try to find a way to keep the budget balanced on a regular basis so that you actually can put some aside and you actually have some preparation for, you know, I'm not a prepper, but I think it's a good idea to have a little bit extra sitting around, you know, in terms of, you know, some dry goods and some, you know, some cleaning supplies and you know, some a little tiny bit of gasoline. You can't store that stuff for very long, but a little bit of it. And, You know, I usually keep about 5 extra gallons in the garage, and I, you know, deplete that over a period of months. And then I'll go down, you know, when I see the price drop, I'll go fill that bucket back up. You know, you just do little things like that. You try to find ways to pinch a penny here and there. And if for some reason you need to go a week, you know, or a couple extra days, you know, you can, you know, go to your other resources that you've been kind of saving up for those, you know, rainy days, as they say.
All right, there you have it. I'm convinced the Zero Aggression Project is one of the up-and-coming solutions for Americans. I know that it might not directly relate to the political arena or Washington, D.C. per se. I think it relates more to your family, to your life, to your individual behavior. But you guys have been working on this project for quite some time, and you're about to launch, right?
Yeah, boy, too long.
If you had the Koch brothers involved in plenty of bucks to further the cause, the problem is we're all running the very best we can on a shoestring, right?
Yeah, that is a large part of the issue, but I have to say, you know, it took us, we had to go through 3 iterations of this before we settled on the version that we're going with now. We attempted a soft launch about a year ago, and it flopped. We had numerous problems that we couldn't immediately see, and then after we stepped back and went through it, we went through 2 distinct versions just this past 12 months or so alone to get where we're at now. So we're at the point now where we're trying to finish it. Would have helped to have had more money, there's no doubt about it, but we also had to go, you know, learn some things about how to do this stuff. And so I'm very excited about what we're about to do. This is a project designed to start a moral conversation, which I know, Sam and Kurt, is something you guys are not afraid to have, to talk about whether or not these policies are consistent with the values that most Americans claim and act on in their daily lives. The principal one for me is the golden rule. Most people have some variation of a golden rule that they follow with those to whom they're close, and a silver rule that they follow with those that they don't know that well. And if I focus on the silver rule for a second, it's, you know, they don't go around punching their neighbors in the mouth. They don't throw stones through their neighbor's window. They don't do things to harm their neighbor because they understand that there's a lot of bad consequences that fall from that, you know, difficult relationships that would occur following. We tend to leave each other alone when we don't know each other, and except when we step in a voting booth, then all bets are off. Then the golden rule, the silver rule, it's all out the window. We're not gonna leave people alone anymore. We're not gonna refuse to aggress against them. We're gonna take their money. We're gonna take their treasure. We're gonna take control of their lives and tell them how they should use their body and what they can and cannot ingest and what health services they can and cannot have. And we're going to just tell them a whole bunch of things. We're going to dictate to them because we know better. In fact, we are electing a guy who he really knows better. And you know, all of that is just it corrupts empathy. It destroys the social fabric of society. It ruins true welfare where people or neighbor looks out for neighbor. It erodes all of that. We need to begin to have that kind of discussion about these policies because here's what's happening now, Sam. We have right now most political discussions are the war of competing studies. You've got your study, I got my study, we throw each other's studies at each other, and we're not really listening. We're engaged in a very reactive, almost caustic debate that gets nowhere. But if we could pause for a moment, we could begin to have a moral debate, and we could begin to induce what I call cognitive dissonance, or what other people call cognitive dissonance too, this notion that, hey, here's something that's really inconsistent about your behavior. Are you sure you're comfortable with this? And begin to get people to pause and reflect instead of react and analyze, wait a minute, this is where I really stand. Because the reason you picked your studies and the reason I picked mine is because at a moral level we believe what we believed. And so we've got to get down to that level and begin to have that more challenging, more unusual, more unique. And by the way, the very first time you do this, much more uncomfortable discussion with other people. But it's the discussion that needs to be had. And if we can begin having that, I believe we can begin changing how the social fabric of this country works. We can begin reducing, maybe even eliminating those things that are pulling it apart.
It kind of relates to purpose-driven behavior, doesn't it?
Unpack that just a little bit for me, please.
Well, you know, instead of just behaving because, golly, those guys are the enemies, so I got to be against them, or, you know what, I got to be part of my party, or, oh my gosh, my ox is going to be gored, so I better attack you first, or this kind of hostile, reactive position we have in, we have purpose-driven behavior. You have a moral purpose a goal based on principles that you believe in, and then you act according to those principles as you move forward. You don't do so in a reactionary state, but you do so in a purpose-driven state. It's, I believe in this purpose because it's the moral high road or the standard I believe in or whatever, and your actions would be governed by that purpose-driven behavior.
Yes, I agree with that assessment. It is a purpose-driven motivation and an awareness that you maybe didn't have before versus a reactionary response that has to do with whatever team you're on. And partisanship is one of the greatest toxins in our society, quite frankly. It's a very bad thing. It needs to go the way of racism. This notion that somehow or other, because they're in that party, they're bad, and I'm in this party, we're good. And what it means, what it literally, how it actually applies itself, and we see it as parties move from minority to majority and vice versa. As they pass each other in the halls to their new positions, they hand each other their dog-eared script. The minority hands the new minority its script, and the majority hands the new majority its script. And business continues to go on as usual because it's all about the team. Partisanship means that you don't have to think anymore. It's a substitute for independent thinking. It's a substitute for critical thinking. It allows you to take a lot of mental shortcuts that, frankly, are very, very unhealthy. And one of the things that we're going to do with this project, I'm starting, it's accessible right from the homepage, is a set of tools, mental tools that people can begin to use to analyze issues and things that are coming up so that they have a better set of tools than, let's say, partisanship, for example.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, zeroaggressionproject.org. When's it going to come online and when are you going to launch?
I'm hoping we're going to be launched by the next time I speak to you. How's that?
All right. Well, it's something if you email me some details about, we can certainly get ahead of the curve and focus on more of the carrying out. It's one thing to kind of understand the concept. It's another thing to day-to-day implement a solution where people can kind of come together in purpose-driven behavior and in a moral compass fashion and point the direction, right?
Right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, zeroaggressionproject.org, downsizedc.org. Man, you got to run a hoe when it comes to downsized DC, sir. That thing's just out of control. All right, Jim Babka, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
There he goes. Jim Babka, ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons we have Jim Babka on the radio, he's a critical thinker. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if we need something in America, it's absolute critical thinkers. Kurt, 5 seconds, go.
Yeah, we've known him forever. Good work. He does great stuff, and he's an example of solutions, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we like to work on.
Amen to that. Thanks all of you for being alongside with the ride. Please donate at republicbroadcasting.org. We'll get the satellite feed up ASAP. We appreciate all of you. Together, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can restore America. You're going to help? LibertyRoundtable.com. Thanks.